That is what they call a cliffhanger. I know what happens. Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know God liked Coke. That's awesome. Right? Hey guys, Coke or Pepsi people? You know what I like about that scene? Old Mac took Bingo for a drive. And the drive was scenic. And the drive was beautiful. And the drive was peaceful. And it was just the two of them. That's interesting about God. He is king over everything. He has so much power. He can crush us like that. He can do away with us. He can get sick of us. And yet he relates to us on our level. He asks Beagle all these questions about creation in terms of the first fence post that went on his farmland. Who was it that put it there? In other words, Elijah, were you around when I formed man and woman, Adam and Eve, from the get-go? Did you see it happen? Do you know when these people rise and where they sit, what they're thinking? Do you know how many there are of this or how many there are of that? And he asks a string of questions. He never condemns. He never talks down to Bingo. He sips on his Coke and drives a truck. And that's beautiful to me because it's a relaxing conversation. But what God is doing is eternal. What God is doing through that conversation, through those questions, through those probing points, is he's getting Bingo's heart to stir. And he asks them probably the most pivotal question of the night. What are you doing here? Tomorrow you leave. I don't. Ha! I stay one more week up here. Woohoo! I speak next week as well. I'm not going anywhere, but you are. You're getting back in your cars, in your vans, in your buses, and you're going back home. And let me tell you something about your home. For the most part, it's going to be the way that you left it. Nothing's changed. But maybe this weekend, you have. And so I ask you this question tonight, what are you doing here? Because this camp is going to spit you out for a good reason. It's easy to stand in front of your friends last night. It's easy to do Christian things all this week. You know why? Because everybody else is doing it. It's easy when people follow other people. But when you go home, you get to be a leader. And there's going to be people you come in contact with who are not going to believe your ways. And I don't want you to teeter. I don't want you to waver. That's not why you came forward last night. Serving God is not playing, you're not playing a game. Serving the Lord is always answering his question tonight. What are you doing here? Because the Lord wants us, student, you and me both, to be content where it is that he constantly leads us. What's different about tonight's stage? Actually, it was true this morning as well. Did you notice something strange about today's stage? What? That's right, no Farmer Bill. Why? Because he's no more. We took him away. When you stood here last night, most of you, you took that away. I saw it with my eyes. You don't have an excuse to do otherwise when you go back home. Elijah, he's struggling with God. This morning we looked at fear. Tonight he's doing his own thing. We find him in the beginning scene of this video segment eating. And old Mac interrupts him. And Elijah doesn't really pay much attention. He just continues to eat. And then he begins a conversation with him that's sweet, compassionate, not filled with shame, not filled with guilt. It's life-giving. What are you doing here? You have your Bibles tonight? Go to 1 Kings, go to chapter 19 again. And go to verse 10. The last portion of verse 9 says this, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by you. Wouldn't that freak you out? He's about to pass by me? His presence alone can destroy me. That's how powerful he is. And he was told to get out, go out of the cave that he's in, hunker down in, and stand on the mountain because the Lord's presence is about to pass by him. I wonder if he's shaking at this point. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 14 is the same thing as verse 10, but I'll repeat it again. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back the way that you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint this guy king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, anoint Elisha, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and his mouths have not kissed him. Elisha is filled with excuses. What are you doing here? And he rambles on. And he asks that again, what are you doing here? And he says the same thing over and over again. That's not his point. His point is to get Elisha back out there to reclaim his farm. He asks a string of questions. Where were you when I set this in place or set that in place? I don't know these answers, old Mac. Why don't you know them, Bingo? Because I'm not the farmer. And he says you're absolutely right, but you are loved by the farmer. Shame and guilt have no place in my kingdom. If you have shame or guilt tonight in your life, that's not of God. When he convicts, he doesn't convict to shame you. He convicts to spur you onward. When we talked about fear this morning, that is not of God. But what you find on his farm are things like joy, peace, goodness, kindness, graciousness, and self-control. Those things belong to your Lord. If those are the things he wants to instill, plant in your life. I never thought I would get out of the wheelchair. Never. Here I am, I graduated from high school. I didn't even think I would graduate from high school. My mom was planning my memorial service like I mentioned. They were planning that I would die. Somehow I get through high school, get my degree, and go to a community college close by my hometown, and go from a push wheelchair to a motorized wheelchair with you control it with a joystick with a hand so you steer it. That thing was fast. It was like 8 miles an hour. It was great. I loved it. You want a race? Come on, let's go, right? It gave me a little form of independence. I wrestled with God because it felt like I was in a cave. And I had that moment with the Lord as he was drinking a Coke, so to speak, with me. And it was soft and it was gentle. You know what he said to me? You know what, Chris? You don't have to be bitter. Because you have a disability, I designed you to be better. And if you look at the two words bitter and better, they're similar by one letter. The letter bitter, the second letter is the word E. And the second letter, the word bitter, is the letter I. You know what the difference is? Bitter focuses on the I. It focuses on me, 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 me. And better is more extroverted. And it focuses on those outside of you. What's it going to be? Are you going to choose to be bitter or are you going to choose to be better? Because there's a world that needs me. And I want to use your broken, messed up life to convey my glory to people. It's not about you. It will never, ever be about you. And don't you get arrogant, because I will hunt you down. What are you doing here? God, I'm in a wheelchair, I can't walk. God, I poop on myself. I need to have people clean me up. I don't speak right. People have to take care of me 24/7. How in the world are you going to use me? Do you trust me? Because we have that heart-to-heart talk one day. I don't know. You tell me. I feel like you abandoned me. No. You're abandoning me. But Lord, this isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. Everybody else is normal. I'm not. Did I ask you to worry about other people? I want you to focus on me. I want to give you peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And I can do that in the midst of your wheelchair. What are you doing here? Just like he asked Bingo. And at that moment I said, you know what, Lord? Okay. If I'm going to be in the wheelchair the rest of my life, so be it. I will find the strength to have joy, and I will trust that you will use it. And I never thought I would ever walk again. And I got involved in swimming. I think community college near my hometown. I didn't think I'd ever finish a college degree. I need a PE credit, so I guess why not? I can hammer away at that section. I'll go swim. I put around the gymnasium of the college campus there. And I get to this chain link fence, and my hands go over the grooves of the fence and the chain link, and I just watch what's on the other side. And what's on the other side are other people with disabilities swimming, having so much fun. And I asked my doctor what he thought about that. Can I swim? He goes, no, not a good idea. Chris, your muscle nerve disease is so rare. You are one of the first in the USMA to have this certain form of your condition. You are a research specimen, for lack of a better word. I'm not sure swimming is gonna help you. I don't wanna help. I just wanna be with other disabled people. I wanna have fun. Exercise. I know this sounds weird coming from a doctor about exercise, but the more exercise you do, the more exertion you're putting on your body, and it can make matters worse for your muscle and nerve disease. You need to be careful. I said, but doc, all the medication that you're giving me, I hate to say, but that's not helping either. And he laughed. And he said, you're absolutely right. It's not helping you, is it? No, sir. And he looked at me, do you want to swim? Why not? Why would it hurt? I'm not looking for anything, just to be with other people like me, sorta. He goes, well, then you swim. And if it takes a toll on you, you need to stop. I said, you have a deal, I promise, because at that point in my life, I wasn't going to risk anything worse. And if swimming was going to be worse, I was going to stop immediately. I wasn't going to joke around. I get involved in swimming. They put a life jacket on me. For the first 6 months, I don't do anything but just float. That's what a life jacket does for you. You float. I float on my back. I had two people on either side of me, assistants, stretching my arms, my legs. That was my workout for 6 months. Pretty boring. But at least I was doing it. And then after about 6 months, I got some movement, so my arms started to do this. and I started doing the backstroke. And he crossed the Olympic sized pool and went, not long way, wide way. Right? Long way, I think I get winded. But I love the backstroke because you can breathe whenever you want. So I'm doing this. It's taken me probably 15 minutes to get from one side to the other acrosswise. Slow. About a year goes by, I'm getting faster. A year and a half goes by, I'm enjoying this now. This is great. I'm comfortable, I'm smooth sailing, I give you some iced tea, this is awesome, yeah. And my teacher jumps in one day, and she's swimming up to me, and there's like 30 of us in the class, and I'm thinking, why is she signaling me out? Get away from me. You have cooties. And she's coming up to me, and she's creating the wake, and she's swimming, and it's starting to swallow water. And she says, today's the day! And she's all excited like it's Christmas morning or whatever. What is her deal? And I said, today's the day for what? And she goes, today's the day I'm going to take the life jacket off of you and reteach you to swim like you could when you were little. Today is not that day. I said, leave me alone. Go pick on your other students. They ain't giving an A for the day, all right? Just go away. I'm doing what you want me to. Just get out of here. And she goes, come on. I want to challenge you, but I'm scared. I want to take this away from me. It's my security. You're right. But do you have faith? Do you trust me? Nope. I did. She was awesome. Let me help you. And so she took the life jacket off. And it was scary. It's scary to get out of your comfort zone. To get out of your rhythm. To get out of your groove. It's scary when your life stops and something new happens. It's scary to go in a different direction. And that's what I did that day. And she taught me to swim. I'm not the best swimmer in the world, but I get by. Then they started to stand me up in the water and started to put my arms out in front of me and began to rock me like this. And I began to move my legs and I started to walk in the water. Not on the water, that's Jesus. I started to walk in the water. And I found that taking steps in the pool is a pretty therapeutic thing. And I wasn't looking for to be healed. I wasn't looking to get better. I was content with being in a wheelchair and serving God. I was okay with that. And 2.5 years later, you know what God did? Through swimming, he helped me walk again. That's how I started to walk. I'm driving the car. You guys are staring at a miracle. If you don't believe in miracles, remember me. I'm a living miracle. Yeah, but you're not all that right. You're not all that right either. Get over it. I'm a miracle. I'm walking. I'm driving a car. Stay off the roads, you'll be okay. But parking in the blue spaces, the disabled parking, is amazing. And when I'm driving with friends, I park in one of those handicapped parking spaces. They're like, you don't need to park here, Chris. Okay. Then in reverse. No, no, no. This is cool. This is cool. The door's right there. Then shut up. Yeah, right? All right. Let's go. I used to go to Disneyland, and I realized why my friends wanted to go with me so much. It used to be, if you had a disability, you didn't have to wait in the line. You go through the exits, you get on the ride right away. Then I finally caught on. That's why you want to hang out with me today. All right, I get it. And God spoke to me. What are you doing here? And he was right. Help me reclaim my form. And I became a speaker. It's what I do. It's not who I am. It's just what I do. And God uses this messed up life for his glory, for some reason. You leave tomorrow. Get out of your cave. This isn't just a one-time deal. What you did last night, many of you, was you were declaring for your life. It's not a game. It's not a guilt trip. It's not shameful. It's not fearful. It's courageous. It's you standing out above the crowd and speaking up. Maybe not by your words, but by your actions. What are you doing here? You live tomorrow. That's the question you have to answer. How will you live your life from this day forward? Do you have joy? I do. Do you have peace? I have peace. Do you have hope? Yeah, I do. That's all from God. We gotta meet together tomorrow morning one last time, one more talk. In a moment, we're going to go outside. They'll tell you what's next to come. But as we go into our next activity for the evening, be mindful of that question. He's asking you the same thing. What are you doing here? You came to this place to get fed. You came to this place to stir your heart up. You came to this place, you became transformed. And now it's time for you to go reclaim God's form. What are you doing here? And the best, probably the best important question after that one is, where are you going from here? Don't say home. Where are you going with your faith from here? That's the message of our night tonight. There's no more bells. They got away. It's you and old Mac. It's you and God. It's you and him alone. And let him direct and guide your soul. Get out of your cave. Camp is noisy. Just like with Elijah, he doesn't speak in the noise. There was the wind, there was the fire, there was the earthquake. There was nothing there. His voice was heard through a gentle whisper. That's how God communicates to you. If you just go home from this camp and just say the fun that you had, you just listen to the noise. He wants you to hear something different. The density of your hearts to be a people that stand up for this generation and speak to an ungodly culture down there. Amen. God, thank you for these students. God, thank you for their fun spirit, their laughter. God, more importantly than any of that is their hearts. Because that all fades away. God, what are they doing here? Only you and they can answer that question together. It's up to you how you want to lead that life, that answer to that question. They're going home tomorrow, they're leaving. And they're going to a different locale. A place they know all too well. It probably has to change much in 5 days. But maybe they have. And maybe that question takes on more meaning now. God, lead them, guide them. Thank you, Lord, for loving them. In your name we pray. Amen.